Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk episode 42. This is actually episode 3 in our deep dive into every role series. Today, we are going to be talking all about supports. Now, my name is Zoinks. You know me as the host of this show, but I am joined by two incredible supports here in North America. Some of the best of the best. The best to ever do it, some would say. I am joined by, of course, Espo and Ender. What is up, you guys?
What's up?
Hey,
now, hello. We are joining you. If you're watching this live recording, I know I'm taking you away from Scizor release. Don't worry, we will get you back to that very shortly. That Pokemon seems like a blast, but not on the topic table today because we were talking about supports. I just questioned Ender. He did say that this Pokemon is in fact not a support. So just a little bit of a spoiler alert for later, I guess. But we'll be talking about all those things very, very soon. Before we get to that, though, I want to give you both just a quick chance at an introduction in case somehow anyone listening does not know who the two of you are. Ender, let's start with you. Who are you? What have you done in Unite scene? How would people know you?
My name's Ender. I used to go by Indie Bear. Some people still call me Indie. I've been playing the game since day one, competitively, casual, like solo queue, five stacks, any kind of form of Unite. Leading up to the competitive circuit, and during the competitive circuit, I was on a team called Gaming Gladiators, GG. It's also known as TTV for a bit, and we won a couple tournaments. We had a pretty good run. And yeah, I like to make educational content, competitive content, anything really in a Pokemon Unite. I'm just a big fan of the game.
Yeah.
So, love to take care of it.
At this point, I think Ender University is an amazing YouTube series. I know you do it live on your stream too, but it is required reading for anyone who wants to make content in Pokemon Unite. Make sure you are looking at that. Esposito, you are up next. Introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Esposito, or most people just call me Espo. I have been playing the game since day one. I started playing the game more competitively since the beginning of UCS. I was in all the UCS tournaments, finishing mostly top 5, 6 and stuff. Never really won any of the UCS tournaments, but have several tournament victories outside of that. I have been playing support since day one, other than those 2 months where I played Mime top lane. Good old days.
The good old days. That is true. I love those ancient days as well. One day I'll have to quiz myself if I remember all the team names that you two have been on. Ender, I know you've had a few team names on your own, but Espo, your team names that you have had in that collective group of yours is a long, long list. That'll be a tough quiz for me to pass. But today, of course, we're going to be talking about support. That's why I have the two of you on. Like I said at the top of the show, this is episode 3. We have talked about the jungle role and the tank role already. We had some great guests on those episodes. So if you want to check out that role, make sure you're checking out the YouTube feed or, of course, a podcast feed if you're listening to this after the recording. But let's jump into it. I have you two, so I got to open it up with my initial question I've asked every other group on this show is, what was historically your favorite meta to play support in? And then maybe even, what do you think that you as a player were personally best in? What meta do you think that you performed at your top level? Ender, let's start with you. What was your favorite meta to play support in?
It's a good question. I think the meta that I had the most success in, personally, like team-wise and support, like per role-wise as support, was when it was very heavy on the 1-1-3 meta. Mm-hmm. Winning the tri lane and laning had a heavy focus on it. Each team had like a Wiggly or a Snorlax or a Slowbro. Blissey wasn't really being played, and I was playing a lot of Eldegoss at the time. I think I had a really good advantage on the other laners in terms of trading in lane, securing last hits, which usually meant that my team, combination of the fantastic players out on my team, but it meant our team had a advantage in the early game. We always came out ahead in the bottom lane. And I think that influenced a lot of our games prior to, I'm thinking this is like the meta when close combat Lucario, and power up punch Lucario was really strong. So we had Lutano on that. Cinderace was the premier jungler, and me and Toon had a really good synergy with me on Eld and him on Cinder. And I liked that meta. I had a lot of success in it. This is pre-Hoopa days as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think a lot of support players didn't like playing Eld at the time because That meta lasted for a really long time.
Yeah, you welcomed the jail that you were being put
Yeah.
in. Fair enough. Espo, same question to you. What was your favorite meta to play support in? And then if you want to add, what meta do you think that you performed your best in?
If I had to say favorite, probably I would say like around February when the UCS first started, when like Eldegoss was in the meta. I feel like I was having fun with Eldegoss. It was a more traditional support, I would say, where you protect your teammates. I enjoyed playing during that meta. It was more fun, in my opinion.
Okay.
As for most success, I would probably say around EOS Cup, when people started the transition to Portal Hoopa. I feel like my team was having good amount of success with the portal rotations, and as like 1-1-3 was still in the meta during that, so I feel like that was my most successful meta so far.
Okay. Cool. I love that. Yeah, so throwing your favorite towards the Eldegoss, but maybe a lot of your early success in the game surrounding this Hoopa. So I think those are fair vouchers from both of you. I like that a lot. Well, let's jump to the next question then. And this is a more philosophical one than anything, but we talk a lot in esports, especially competitive games, definitely in team games, is the impact that every role has on the result of the game. Some metas are dominated by the jungle. That role just, you know, can really control the game. Whoever's jungler performs better wins the game. But Ender, you were even talking about a meta where winning the bottom path was paramount, and that was led to a ton of success. So supports in that meta were a huge deal, had a big, big impact at the end of the game. What do you think this meta, where do we currently lie? Do you think that support has a large impact on the game, or do you feel like this meta game currently supports have a lesser impact? Espo, let's start with you for this one.
I'm in the current meta where we are right now, because I haven't played with the scissor patch yet.
Sure.
So I don't
okay,
know
yeah,
how
yeah.
it is
as of
looking,
yesterday,
but,
maybe.
As of looking like the past month since the new map dropped, I feel like the support has been in a weird place where like people are trying to just figure out what even is the support. Like, I have been seeing way less Hoopa, almost no Eldegoss. Like, I have been still trying to make Hoopa work too, and I think it's still good. But most of the support players transferred either into playing Mr. Mime or more defender kind of player. I found myself trying to learn defender role a bit more too. Like, I've been playing roles like Snorlax, Slowbro, you know, trying to just broaden my horizons, I guess.
Okay.
And I feel like impact-wise, it's still strong when I played Hoopa. You can pressure back caps, your ult is still really strong, effective. You can be more free with what you're doing. But it's definitely more in the open air right now, and we have to see with, of course, upcoming supports how it's going to evolve in this new map. And, of course, let's not forget the Rayquaza HP falling back now. Ugh. Flip might be back in the you know, menu, so things are going to change until this current map meta, you know, fits more.
Yeah. RIP Zap, Ray Health for sure. How about you, Ender? Where do you think supports are finding themselves in terms of impact for the entire game?
I think this is like a really, really good patch, like at least the last patch we had to be a support player. I think there's a lot of different options. Hoopa doesn't feel as good anymore.
Okay.
It's not to say it's not viable. I think Hoopa still has a lot of different sets that are good. Like I experimented with Trick Phantom Force early in the patch and a lot of success, at least like ladder wise with that. And then one thing I think a lot of people have seen me play, and I played it in the tourney over the weekend as well, was support Pikachu. And like my thought process this patch has been that like there's a lot of farm on the map, and the farm is like scattered everywhere. There's like you know, even the enemy jungle is like so much more accessible now for you to be able to invade at any point during the game. So I wanted to have a character that's has good laning. I think everyone was underrepresenting how strong laning is, because there's a lot of farm in the lane. Stacking is really important. I wanted to have an option that deals with invading, because a lot of the supports are the invade character in this patch. Like we've seen Aegislash invade, obviously, but Snorlax invade has been really, really popular. Wiggly invade. So I wanted to have either the option to invade or counter invade. And Pikachu is one of the best counter invaders in the game.
Okay.
Just because like you have a really big attack range, you run Muscle Band, you can zone people out really easily, have early game damage. So I wanted a Pokemon that fulfilled all those roles. And Pikachu's been good for it, but I think there's like the window to play so many different things. Like I've seen Geese play support Mamoswine, which I think has really, really good potential. Obviously, we've seen support Lax. We're going to see more support Wiggly and Slowbro now that they've been buffed. Mm-hmm. So, like, Espo was saying on the tank spot. But I think even, like, maybe not necessarily the attackers. I think Pikachu might be the only one that fulfills that role. And, like, to answer your initial question, I guess, like, the impact of supports, you have to be able to take farm on the map, which is why Hoopa feels weird. And if you can't take farm on the map, then your team needs to have, like, really, really good farmers. That's why I think you need to be able to, as a support, recognize, like, is my job to farm right now, or is my job to go out and get vision? Because there's a lot of different, like, bushes and nooks and crannies and whatnot that you need to just hold positioning as a support. And making that decision in the early game, especially making the decision, like, which lane am I meant to be in? If you're not playing Hoopa, you don't have the benefit of just porting between lanes. And, like, one of the biggest mistakes I find myself doing is, like, I'll immediately realize, okay, I'm in the wrong lane. Like, either I need to be pressuring the other lane, I need to be defending the other lane in the early game, like, the first 2 or 3 minutes. So I think the learning curve right now to be, like, a support at the highest level is probably one of the highest ever, because, like, every other meta, we've had, like, one tricks for every support. It's either been a Hoopa one-trick meta or Eld one-trick meta. But I think with draft coming, and maybe if you want to talk about draft as well, like, we're going to have to learn a lot of different Pokemon to keep up.
That is very true. And we'll get to draft later on in the show for sure. I want to discuss that and where support will kind of fall in terms of draft pick priority is, like, my favorite conversation to have in these specific roles. And we'll have to dig into that for sure. But Espo, Indra just talked about a lot of different Pokemon that have been experimented in the support role in this meta. I know you have also found some interesting experimentations. What has been your favorite Pokemon that maybe is not typical to run in that support role, but you really like playing around with?
I mean, as Inder said, there's definitely way more option right now that people experimenting with lots of stuff right now. As I said, I've been trying to experiment more with more defender kind of supports that can go in way. Like, I played lots of Snorlax this past 2 weeks, especially. I've been testing invading and counter invading at the same time. Its effect, I think, is really good in the top lane. I have been playing Slowbro a bit recently, so I'm excited to see how it's going to feel with the new buffs as well.
Okay.
Wigglytuff is another one that Indivir mentioned that I feel like is definitely a strong one. Mamoswine, one that I actually haven't considered too much, but now I think about it, might be interesting. But yeah, there's definitely lots of, you know, interesting picks right now that can work. Because as we say, like, support's role is not just, you know, shield or protect your teammates, right? As long as you have the EXP share and you're doing your role, you're still a support. So I feel like there's definitely lots of things going to happen. We are getting new supports as well. So we'll see how it turns out. It's still really in the air right now.
Yeah, up in the air, I think, is it maybe the most true it's ever been in terms of support and what that meta really looks like around it. Inder, you referenced that one of the reasons you think the support role has definitely opened up is, one, in defense of invasions, but also because the farm has been so spread out across the map, and the need to make sure that your team is getting that experience has never been tougher than it is now. Espo, can you think of any other reason that has really made this support role, like, tougher, or maybe not tougher, but just more dynamic, I mean, than it has been in the past?
I would say because recently we had, like, super dominant supports. Like, at one point, Eldegoss was the most dominant support. After that, we had a really, really long Hoopa dominancy. But right now, in the new map and in the new meta with the nerfs, buffs, and everything, those two are not, like, clearly above the rest, right? So, it means that, you know, we don't have to one trick anymore. There's lots of different team comps going on, and when people don't have to one trick anymore, well, it's in the air, because again, I have like 2,000 games in a row with Hoopa. So for me, it was challenging at first, because I have to, like, okay, like, what I'm playing now, Hoopa doesn't feel as strong as anymore. And I'm pretty sure lots of other supports are like this, because when you force someone to play one Pokemon for a long amount of time, they definitely feel more confused. So
right.
I feel like that's one reason that there is not a dominant support in the meta.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure with the draft pick also we're gonna feel it more, so I'm super excited for it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that, because both of you brought it up at this point. I think we have to jump into draft pick ban. If you're new to MOBAs, this is a, you know, maybe not even unique to this video game style or video game genre, but just the method of banning a Pokemon that is global, neither team can pick it, and then, of course, drafting Pokemon onto either side. Again, if you take that Pokemon, the enemy team cannot take it. I think everybody listening to this show already knows what pick ban or drafting is in the first place. Ender, you talked about about how you're really excited for what draft could bring to the game in general, but speaking from a support's perspective, do you think that, well, let's answer the first question. Maybe the concerns around draft for the longest time have been centered around support. Only having a couple of traditional supports in the meta historically has made a lot of people be, you know, more hesitant towards a draft. Do you think because the meta's more open now, more supports are viable, that those fears are kind of quashed?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Like, the problem was before, the support Pokemon were pretty much just Blissey and Elb before Hoopa came out, which is when people wanted to start doing draft. And those two Pokemon were so much better than any other, like, thing you could put in that role. And with how the map was designed, like, it just felt like you were incentivized to have a healer.
Okay.
And those two were, like, just far and above the rest. But now, Eld's been brought down, Blissey's been brought down, other stuff's been, like, elevated. I think you can pretty much run, like, so many different styles of comps. And the thing is I'm not even sure, like, how much the support role is going to exist in the way that it has for quite a long time. Like, nowhere in the game does it say, like, every team needs to have a support, a tank, right? Like, that's just, like, how the community has come together, and it's kind of how other games play, so, like, the framework has made sense. But I'm starting to feel like the game is shifting more and more towards having, like, two characters that are, like, supporty in nature, like a jungler, and then two, like, farming kind of characters.
Yeah.
And the defender and the support are kind of the supporties, but they don't have to, like, heal. They don't have to CC. They just have to, like, be able to do stuff with not as many resources and, you know, set up your teammates pretty much. So,
yeah.
With like draft, yeah, I think with draft, it's going to enable people to be a lot more flexible and, like, I don't know, kind of just play the game without dedicated positions.
Okay, I like that a lot. That really will force players to be even more flexible than just having to have a deep roster pool of Pokemon they're able to play. But, you know, having to fill multiple positions on a team as well, have that flexibility is going to be even more important. Espo, when it comes to drafts, there's going to be Pokemon taken off the table. These traditional supports may be getting banned initially, or even not, but just strategies are being built kind of on the fly in a draft scenario. Do you think it is going to make the support role a much more difficult one to play when draft comes to this game? Which, it is not confirmed. I'm not confirming anything like that, but it really seems inevitable at some point that a MOBA like this would get it.
First, I will say, I think the support role-wise, the game is ready for draft pick right now. I have been having a few scrims recently with draft pick on.
Oh, cool.
And it felt really nice, to be honest, as a support. Like, I felt like I had more activity as a team. You know, I was able to say, okay, guys, like, this support here against this team feels better right now. Picking support early felt strong. Leaving support as a late pick felt strong. Like, you can feel different roles, I feel like, as a support player. Like, at certain picks, I felt like Hoopa was feeling strong. You know, I looked at the enemy team, and we feel like, wait, rotations here is really important against this team. And otherwise, we look, okay, we need to more survivability, or we need to protect our back line more. You know, like, they have so much dive, and we have a squishy Pokemon. Let's pick Lax here, and, like, let's pick two defender, one for engage, one for defending the back line, maybe Wigglytuff. Like, I felt like support role is definitely ready, since now there are multiple picks. You don't just ban two supports and now supports have nothing to play. So I definitely feel like support is gonna be fun role to play once the draft pick comes. And that, you know, we can, because right now the game is, you know, because you have just, you can pick whatever you want. It's, we always see certain Pokemons in the game, right? So I feel like once these more interesting picks are going to start coming with draft pick, the support is going to be way more fun and way more viable, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like that. And so the way you just described that too, is you were seeing how the teams were being laid out of either Pokemon, which unfortunately we don't have right now. It's just blind pick in the ranked ladder scenario. But if, you know, we did have draft at some point in the future, you'd be able to see how both teams are lining up. You know, your team doesn't have Peel, like you were mentioning, take a Pokemon that could provide that, like Snorlax. If you were looking at the metagame right now, and just, you know, overlooking it, not thinking maybe Pokemon selection wise, but what do you think is the most important thing that a support player needs to be paying attention? I mean, Inder mentioned a ton of different things that the support needs to be aware of and constantly trying to accomplish for their team. But Espo, could you pick out maybe one that you think is at the top thing, like, this, if you were playing support right now, this is what you need to be focusing on in this meta?
Well, usually what I do currently is being aware of what my team wants to do,
Okay.
because as a support, in my opinion, you have to, help your team, right? That's the main goal of a support. So when I play support, doesn't matter if I am more traditional support or am I more defender role. My goal is to see, okay, like, does my team currently need somebody to offlane? So like I make sure the team is not backupping. Does my team need me to be with them? Do I need to farm right now? Like, does my levels low? Is it, maybe nobody's getting the farm. Like, I feel like you just have to be aware of situation and play for vision as well. I feel like many supports in the current map is not playing for vision and paying too much attention to defending or scoring backups, that vision has been kind of lacking in most of the five stacks I see outside.
Okay.
So I think that's the current things that I try
Vision.
to pay attention to. The vision is an important one that people are not super used to in the new map, but I think it's
Okay.
important.
I like that. I like that a lot. Ender, same question to you. What do you think is the, I mean, you mentioned so many good nuggets of wisdom already, but if you could narrow it down to just one, like, this is the most important thing for supports to be doing right now, what do you think that is?
I think it's probably going to be defending backups. Espo mentioned
Okay.
it as well. The new map means that, like, point leads are very important. It's not as easy to just, I mean, maybe now it might be a lot easier to flip and win games, but giving up like an extra 30, 20 points feels really bad. And a lot of times, like, your teammates are going to be busy with a lot of other stuff. So on top of getting vision, like, you got to be in good positions to defend backups at any point in the game.
Okay, I like that a lot. Well, let me hit you with one more question and kind of flip the coin to its other side at this point in time. What do you think what do you think most people do wrong when playing the support role?
Ooh, I have one. I have one that really, like, annoys me in solo queue, and I see it as well. But
Okay, hit me. What is it?
it's the thing that people do is they'll attach themselves to who they think is going to carry them throughout the game, because they're like, all right, I'm the support, I need a pocket to my carry, and they'll just run around the entire map following on their carry. I see, like, a lot of Blissey players, a lot of Mind players are doing this too. They're like, let me just find someone and, like, buddy system it up. Which might have been, like, more effective on the other map because there was less stuff to do, but everyone needs to be involved in the game. And you, like I said, like, a big thing supports have to do is defend backups. But if my support is just following me around while I farm the jungle or while I farm, like, the Indeedee's on the side of the map, then we're not getting anything done. We're losing backup. So I think supports need to learn to be more independent.
Okay, I like that a lot. Maybe not a traditional piece of advice, but that is a really good one. Espo, same question to you. What do you think most people are doing wrong when they play support?
First, I gotta say, 100% agree with Inder here.
Okay, I
It's
love
definitely
that.
something that I see a lot too, that, supporters attach themselves to whoever this is supposed to be the carry, I guess, and just don't do anything else. And that's definitely a wrong thing to do. But if I have to mention something else, I think I'm gonna again go with the vision part. In
Okay.
the current map, especially, like, when you're offlaning and stuff, when you're roaming around the map, defending the backups and stuff, I see lots of support players just, put themselves in the pad. Like, they just literally stand on the pad and farm, like, one or two crabs spawning around, and that's it. Like, I feel like people are not, pushing up enough. They are not checking the bushes and, giving the vision, because if you see all the enemies, you don't have to hold the backup because you already know where they are and you can do something else. Maybe you can pressure the backup yourself, like, stuff. So I think that in the current map, lots of support is scared to move out. They just want to be safe. They feel safe holding the backup. They think they are doing their job. But I just feel like that they have to be a bit more brave and gain more information overall.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a really good call out. Vision is all going to be so important. Well, we've already talked about a lot of these things about what makes support players really good and what are most of the things you need to focus on and be important, but Inner, you brought up solo queue, so let's jump to it one more time. What is something that stands out to you when you are watching someone play that immediately in your head flicks that switch of, "Oh, that is a good support player." If you're playing solo queue and you see a support doing this, you're like, yep, I know that they are a solid player. They did that one thing and that got the check mark from me. Ender, how about you?
Other than the specific example I already gave in terms of, like, being independent, this one happens a lot in solo queue, is when you're doing an objective, the support player doesn't need to be, sometimes they need to be the one contributing damage, and it's really important that they are, especially if they're playing, like, something like an Eldegoss with a muscle ban. Like, it might be your job to be hitting the objective, but a lot of times it's your job to hold bushes around the objective, make sure a steal doesn't happen. And I see a handful of support players, a lot of tank players in solo queue especially do it. Like, they'll just go and hold the bush while I'm soloing an objective or while we're doing an objective. I'm like, perfect. Good. You've got vision. You're able to catch them if they try to engage on us. And that what irks me is that, when they, like I said, they just get attached to me and then they're like, all right, I'm gonna do what Ender is doing. I'm gonna hit the objective with him. And then, a Blissey just X speeds in and throws an egg bomb and it's like, oh, wish we saw that coming.
Yeah, it's all over. Yeah, that can be a huge pain. But okay, when they're playing independently, when they know the right decision, you can trust in your other players and you can play instead for a different objective. Maybe not the main Pokemon objective, but vision or something like that. Espo, is there anything that we haven't mentioned yet? I know we've talked about so many like your little tips and tricks already for supports, but is there something that you see other support players doing that when you see that happen, you know for a fact they're a good support player?
I think we already mentioned most of the important ones. I don't have
Sure.
a good solo queue experience for
Okay.
personally myself, but I would say probably the only thing is, again, knowing when you want to give vision and knowing when you want to be the support of your team, like when to engage, when to protect your backline and stuff like that. And I feel like especially in 5-man, like when you're in the voice call with your team, leading what you're doing is important. But in solo queue, yeah, I sadly don't have the biggest experience.
Yeah, that's totally fine. I mean, five stacks is definitely the way that I think the majority of our podcast listenership plays this game. So that is okay. We're talking to the crowd for sure. But awesome. So we have gotten a lot of good tips and tricks of how to play the supports in this current metagame. We talked about what is most important on this new map, what objectives you're even going to be focusing on, of course, vision. I mean, healing really seems to be lower on the totem pole when it comes to the supporting role now. Do you guys think you have any ideas of why that is? I mean, we've seen Blissey like Omega heals before be a part of the meta, and of course, Hyperspace Hole resets be a big part of the meta. But is there any other reason that you think healing is, less important than things like vision and peel? I mean, my opinion is just there's so much free healing on this map in Unite. I mean, goal zones heal you, there's citrus berries around, you can base and get back pretty quickly. Those are all the things. Is there anything else I'm missing that the two of you can think of?
I mean, in my opinion, the biggest reason why the healing supports are not as popular as they used to be. One, I mean, Mime is a good healer. Let's start with that. I think
Sure.
Mime
Okay.
usually is enough to have a Mime in your team to help that, one person. But other than that, the game itself right now is not, I feel like it's not revolving around a 5-person fight in the main objective, a big fight going on, people just goes in, you need the healing instantly to save your carry or something. I feel like lots of people are holding back gaps and going for back gaps. So like just having that Mime in the mid right now with your team is more than enough healing. And
Okay.
once a team fight happens, like there's lots of one-shotting anyways. Like most of the Pokemon has crazy damage right now. Like a Glaceon jumps in, like one-shots your carries. Like you don't really have the time to heal. So I
Okay.
feel like it's just there's no need for the healing right now because of the way the map is. But it might change now that the Rayquaza health is lowered a lot. That we might maybe the flipping might be more important now. Those 5v5 team fights might be more important. So we will see how it feels. But right now, I feel like that's the main reason.
No, that's a good call. Ender, any more ideas of why you think that healing is moved down in the list of importance a little bit?
I think there's just the Pokemon that heal right now aren't as good as they once used to be. Like Hoopa is
Sure.
a lot worse with the base healing nerfs and among other things, and the Unite move nerfs, and Aldegoss just hasn't been buffed at all for a very long time. It's been power crept kind of out of the game. And I think Blissey, I honestly think Blissey is like perfectly playable right now. Like soft
Okay.
boiled Blissey, like if you wanted to play it, I think it would be absolutely fine.
Okay.
But as Espo said, like we've had Mime for so long in this patch, and that's been enough that we haven't felt the need. But I think, yeah, I imagine we'll see a lot more Blissey if the game continues in this way.
Okay, well, all three Blissey fans will be very excited for that.
Yeah.
we have to one more topic before we jump into some new segments is I want to ask you, do you have any hot takes on the role of supports? The real we've already talked about some of your maybe off the wall choices in terms of Pokemon, but outside of that, any real hot takes here? I had the tank players telling me the focus band was bad and trying to convince me of that. Anything that you two want to contribute to the hot takes conversation in Unite right now. Ender, any ideas?
Well, I want to talk about this focus ban thing real quick.
Okay,
I've heard it
sure.
as well.
Okay.
I think the argument being that leftovers is better or something like this.
It has been brought up multiple times, yes.
I think leftovers is a playable item on a lot of some defenders, at least, like maybe like Snorlax, for example, who's gonna be out of combat to get set up and whatnot,
Okay.
that has a high HP pool. But I think focus ban in a competitive sense is still a fine item on Pokemon that have a big health pool that can reliably get it off. It's still like a cheat code every 80, 90 seconds on the cooldown, to be able to win fights. So I think it's a great item for supports.
Great.
I think Buddy Barrier has a lot of potential that I think it's just being skipped out on. Like,
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't long ago that the game was literally five buddy barriers, and then
I
maybe
was
it went
just
down to
gonna
three or
say,
four.
imagine in the hot take segment, Ender has to say that Focus Ban and Buddy Barrier are still good. Like,
Yeah.
imagine talking to a season one player. They're like, "X what?
Exactly.
How is such a thing a hot take?" But anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I think, and I fully believe this, that like buddy barrier is a really, really good support item. I mean, every reason that made it good in the past is still good on supports. Like, it gives you good flat HP. It helps keep a teammate alive. And they're like, the need for damage traditionally isn't as important. Which is why, and I want to talk about me playing support Pika a lot. Like, I love running Buddy on that character because it has such a low Unite move charge that, like, whenever I need to Buddy a teammate, I can reliably have it up. And there's so many mini objectives on the map or like small fights where it comes into play. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to hear your both of your opinions on support Pikachu, because I've had like arguments with almost every single person that I've played with. Some saying that they think it's really good, some thinking that it sucks.
Well, I'll jump in before Espa does because he's more educated and a better player than I am. I've been a firm believer in it, Ender. I have been an early adopter of your support Pikachu build. In fact, I was arguing to some other, they won't be named casters in the scene, that support Pikachu was really good. I was trying to give that leverage, and I've had a lot of success with it on ladder too. I mean, just picking Voltak, Electro Ball, you can find little cheeky ways to win, and defending back caps, it is phenomenal at. So I've been really, really enjoying it for the reasons that you listed. I think it is definitely a pick that you have to be confident in your other teammates that they are going to, trust you to be a support and not like thinking that you're going to be some kind of damage carry mage, because that is not going to be the case. So I think your team has to accept the support Pikachu pick, but I think if that happens, it's really, really solid. Espo, what are your thoughts on support Pika?
So firstly, I have to say, when I first saw he played Ender against me in the ladder, I was like, okay, he must be trolling, like just probably just having fun. Like, it was when you were first experiencing it, and I was like, then I,
I was
you
just having fun, by the way. I didn't think anything of it. I was just like,
know. My guess
whatever.
was right, thankfully. I told him, I heard like quite a bit of 5-6 since then I played, was like, hey, Espo, you want to play support Pika? Like, Ender Bear is playing, and I'm like, I mean, no, thanks, but I feel like it definitely is not looking bad. I mean, I'm not sure if it's just because it's in your hands. I did play a few games just to see how it feels, mostly for fun. I am still not 100% sold, but I feel like with Volt Tackle, especially if draft pick comes, I feel like it can be a strong ping because Volt Tackle actually destroys some Pokemon that dies, like Absol or Gengar. You
Oh,
just
it's
come in,
a
you Volt
best
Tackle them,
Gengar
and they're
counter.
destroyed.
Oh, I love
So
the Gengar counter.
I definitely feel like it has a good potential once the draft pick comes. For blind pick, it's, as you say, it's good at farming, it's good at offlaning, like it definitely has a good potential. I just feel like it's losing its effect in late game. Maybe with Buddy Barrier as a support, it definitely has a bit more impact, but I just feel like late game pushing potential and defending potential is not there for Pikachu.
Yeah,
But
so
maybe with
here's what I like. Here's been my answer to like
the
fixing it, right? Is I just go and find the enemy Mew and I just ult it to force the enemy Mew to ult. And it's like, all right, now their most broken character is missing their ult, and our Lightbulb character is, traded for it. And then it's
But
like, who
like,
cares? That's like, that's such a big winning
and
trade,
now
right?
the fight begins. Great. Yeah. We started off with the first move of the dance and then the fight commences. I like
Exactly.
that. Okay. I think that's a pretty good defense. Again, you're going to need to have a team that'll trust you when you were diving in to try to find the mute to make it happen. But hey, it will definitely work. Potato saying that is literally the way to play Pika. But I like that a lot. Well,
True.
awesome. I think that definitely fulfills the hot take segment, if you will. Support Pika has been defended on this podcast, but to be fair, there was two support Pika believers in it to start the episode. But let's talk about the two new supports that we know are going to be coming towards Pokemon Unite. We have Clefable, who has been announced everywhere. Of course, Clefable definitely has been a front and center of a lot of Pokemon media, not just Unite. I mean, the Harvest Moon Festival, of course, and having their moon Pokemon be front and center makes a lot of sense, but multiple titles are bringing Clefable-themed things. Unite is doing so by making it a playable Pokemon. Talk to me about Clefable and what you think it will bring to the game. I don't know as much about this new Pokemon coming out. I've looked a lot into Sableye. I love that Pokemon, but I'm relying on you two a lot to teach me about why Clefable is going to be broken and why it's going to take over the meta. Espo, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, first I gotta say, if Defender players pick this one up, I am actually deleting the game. God damn it, I wanna play a support character for once. Because
Okay, fair enough.
I've been talking with Egnub recently since it hit the testing server, and he has been telling me, Espo, sorry to bring you the bad news, but this feels like a Defender Pokemon to me, It feels like an upgraded Blissey basically. Like he has kind of a taunt, he has a good healing, he's a frontliner, like So looking at it, I kind of agree on that sense, but since like now the meta sh shifted into, we don't have one traditional support, but more two Pokémons that, can live those instant burst damage, I feel like this can definitely very well fit in the support role as well. It's a really good healing, but of course it has lots of offensive moves as well. Like you definitely want to be a bit more frontline with this Pokémon. So we'll definitely, of course, have to see, but I am super hyped for it. I want to test this shit out of this Pokémon.
Okay, well, at least it's got you excited, enough to fight your teammate over it. I like to hear that. Ender, how about you? Any initial thoughts on Clefable? Obviously, hasn't been released yet, but what are you thinking about this Pokemon?
I agree and disagree with Espo a little bit, but
Okay.
it's gonna sound really funny. Is if they don't nerf the Pokemon on how it is from the test server to here, I actually think it's like a top lane character, like like what a melee player would play, because
Interesting.
it just does so much damage. And the way its draining kiss works is, you're incentivized to not even heal your teammates pretty much, because it targets your lowest HP ally, but you could just use it to heal yourself up to full on like 1v2 situations, and you do an insane amount of damage. You have a really low ult cooldown, and most of your like your ult is a lot of RNG, but most of it's a damaging move. And if Clefable is going to be the most overtuned character, you're going to want the bigger Clefable on your team, which means you're going to want to give it farm, which means that you could probably just run it in like a farming kind of role, or the defender role. Like it feels like it needs to be like changed in a way, like maybe nerfed on how much damage it's doing,
Okay.
maybe increase the amount of healing it does to your allies or something. Because yeah, right now it looks ridiculously overtuned, but the kit itself, from a design perspective, I think is really interesting. Like we have our first taunt in the game. We haven't like we've had Q Charm, which is kind of a taunt, but like not a real like taunt for people that have played a lot of like old school games where you dash in and you force the entire enemy team to start hitting you. So it's gonna be interesting. Like you'd use it to back cap for your team, like go taunt on a pad, everyone hits you and your teammates cap behind you. A lot of different use cases I think we'll get with it.
Yeah, it seems really cool that way. But you're saying the main reason you don't think it'll end up in the support hands at the moment, if it, remains the same as it is on test server, is strictly because of damage numbers. Like it's just too strong of a carry to be
Yeah,
resolved. Okay.
I think it's just a carry right now, unless the
I
damage numbers
see.
go down.
Okay, Espo, how does that make you feel?
Just give me a support that I can play for once, please.
Okay, fair
I
enough.
just want to play a cool support character. But
What
I can also see it in the like current Mime's position as well, like offlaning and getting the farm
Okay.
himself as Indebir said, but yeah.
Okay. What part of the kit of Clefable do you think makes you most excited when playing this Pokemon?
I mean, I think it's gonna be the taunt for me. I think it's cool finally getting a different mechanic. That the Unite, I mean, I haven't played the test server yet, but for those of you guys that don't know, like it, you can pick one of basically five moves, like fly, hyper beam, block, and
Close
a couple of
combat
close combat. Yeah,
and
and
one more. I forget what the last one is, but
there's another
fly.
one that,
Fly. Yeah, we said fly, I think, but yeah, we'll figure it
Or
out.
hydro pump, then we hydro pump.
Hydro pump, there it is.
Hydro pump,
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, sir.
so
I have
yeah, I don't
bingo.
know. I think getting in different situations and then like changing the outcome because you got the right ult is going to feel very frustrating to play into, especially with how low of a cooldown it is. So I don't know. I don't know how other people feel about RNG kind of elements in MOBAs, but
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm pretty 50-50 on it. I think sometimes it's good, and in this case, I'm kind of worried about it, but we'll see.
From a MOBA design point, it is concerning for sure. From like a Pokemon flavor win, like this is
Oh,
a
for
slam
sure.
dunk, right? Like this is everyone knows that this Pokemon is known for Metronome. It would be weird if it didn't have some kind of RNG themed attack. I think putting it on the Unite is the best place to put it, because otherwise you would just have to deal with it way too often. However, it sounds like you might still have to deal with it way too often. But we'll see, we'll see. Espo, last note, Uncle Fable. What do you think you're most excited for on this Pokemon?
I think I'm also gonna go with the more taunting wise because I love
Okay.
aggressive support play styles. Like with Hoopa, I love Phantom Force because we just go in, annoy people, hurt them a lot if they are alone and stuff like. And I would love to have another support that you can just go in and just annoy people as much as you can, kill them if they are playing wrong. Of course, as Inder said, with the current damage numbers, maybe not, but hopefully
Yeah,
it will be a
hopefully.
balanced
I'm almost
Pokemon.
certain it'll get changed before it comes to
It
live. Like,
has to.
I'd
I didn't
wager
per
that it
I didn't
has
personally
to.
believe it. I heard a bit like everybody has been saying it has to get nerfed. I hope so. Unless
I've
they
heard
want to,
people say
they just want to sell it with gems more, but who knows? Who knows?
that. I kind of expected this one to be an event style Pokemon, just from the way that they were promoting
I mean, still, even Pokemon, like you remember Mew, like you
it,
either
but
had
who
to
knows?
wait 7 days or you
You
pay
didn't play
the
your
cash for.
200 quick games to get
Oh,
Mew? That is true. Okay, let's talk about the what I am most excited for, maybe since this game's launch, honestly. Sableye looks so unbelievably fun from head to toe. This Pokemon looks absurd in the amount that it can do. I honestly think it's our game's Teemo. It's got a frenzy that you can cast with Confuse Ray. You have our first wards technically in the game with the faint attack, like fake energy orbs. We have Invis on a passive or immediate due to Shadow Sneak. I don't know. There's so many things to talk about this Pokemon. But for sake of time, why don't we just, well, actually, not even for sake of time. Ender, talk to me about Sableye. Are you excited about this Pokemon? What new mechanic is it bringing that you are most excited for or you're most dreading? What are you thinking about this Pokemon?
I'm really, really excited. Like the kind of the play style I try to achieve with support Pika is what I would want from Sableye. Like just running around the map, creating chaos. Like obviously Sableye is gonna have stealth, and which I'm really excited about. I think it's a really fun mechanic for supports. But yeah, I think the wards are what I'm most excited about. I come from Dota, which I guess League of Legends as well has wards, but in Dota, it's like the support's job pretty much should be warding on the map, going out, putting vision, and setting up for your team. And we haven't had anything like that in Unite other than like supports doing it
Right, just
physically.
physically standing there. Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a lot of fun on Sableye. That's what I'm probably looking forward to most.
Yeah. Oh, it looks so unbelievably fun. I can't wait. Espo, how about you? Anything that specifically stands out from this Pokemon that you are most excited for?
First, I gotta say, whatever role this goes, I'm fighting for my team to be the play. This is a jungler. I am playing the jungle. I don't care. That's for sure. I don't think it's called jungle, but still,
Good.
it's
Good.
number one. It looks so fun. That's number one thing for me. Like, I love playing fun Pokemons, and it has just so many things in its kit. As you said, like we have the first frenzy effect in the game. It's really interesting. Like, you can. I feel like this is a Pokemon that you can do alone plays. You can just go and you see two enemies and just kind of hurt them a lot, maybe kill them and just run away without really losing anything. The warding effect, as Inder said, I came from League of Legends, and as a support player in League of Legends, it's 100, like it's not 100%, but like mostly your job to ward around. Like most of the supports even just leave their lanes early just to ward any like other lanes and stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like with this Pokemon, the moment you get your ability, like you can just like just go invisible and go around the enemy jungle, drop a ward there. Like I feel like it's gonna be super interesting, and it might be more broken than Hoopa if you know in the current map. I feel like I don't know. I of course I have to see personally play to feel, but I feel like this has a lot of potential.
At the very least, I think it'll take more synergy than Hoopa did. Hoopa just pressed a button and the whole team showed up, right? I think this will take a little bit more skill level from your teammates to capitalize on. But yeah, it seems amazing. The early move of Thief being able to steal Aos energy from Pokemon that are trying to stack seems phenomenal. Like, I'm so excited about the prospect of that. Just to even cut them down on one or two stacks early sounds fantastic. I cannot wait. I think this Pokemon's really, really cool. Any last notes on Sableye or even Clefable before we jump on to our next subject?
I think kind of what we talked about at the start, that like support, or at least my belief and whatnot, that supports being more and more dynamic and independent. And I think Sableye is just going to add another layer of that. Like, it's definitely the type of Pokemon you're not going to be able to get by just pocketing someone and following one teammate around. Like, you have to go out, make your own decisions, have a lot of agency in the game. And I think that's ultimately, like, that's what people want from their role if they want to be competitive, right? Like, that you have agency and your decisions impact the outcome of the game. And it looks like first impressions on Sableye, it's going to have a lot of, like, individual play associated with it.
I agree with Inder here. Like, because currently some of the supports you play, like Tree Koopa, Aldegos, Blissey, and stuff like that, like, you don't pay too much of a price if you just stick with your jungler or a carry. But this Pokemon definitely forces you. It has nothing that actually supports a teammate itself. Like, you don't give any buff or heal or anything. You are the support. You support by just revealing the map, confuse stunning the enemies and stuff. Like, so I'm definitely excited to have this kind of support character.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I right there with you, and just being a nuisance towards the enemy team and providing your own team intel is going to be support enough. I absolutely cannot wait. One more question before we jump into our supports tier list here. We're adding a ton of new mechanics into the game on these two support Pokemon. We've talked about a lot of them. Taunt, Frenzy, I guess Invis, technically, there's already a little bit piece of it, but, you know, a lot of new mechanics. Wards. What other kind of supporting mechanics would you like to see added to Unite after seeing these ones have been added?
Well, we're also getting a fear, I believe, with Sableye as well, right? Which is, we haven't had a fear before.
Which one gives you fear?
I remember there being a fear on one of the... Maybe it was on Zoroark? Might not have been on a support. I remember seeing a fear on one of the new Pokemon, but that's what I wanted to see for a long time.
Okay.
Is a support having the ability to fear their opponents, which forces them to run from you or run from
anyone has listened to my ramblings about Pokemon, I have wanted Dusknoir as a defender, a fear defender, for a long time. I think that would be so flipping cool. You just, like, you know, drop down Dark Void and everyone's gonna run from it. It'd be fun. Espo, how about you? What kind of mechanics would you like to see added to the game?
It's an interesting one, but like, I'm gonna give an example from another game.
Of course.
Because Sableye, when I first saw Sableye in League of Legends, Pyke is a character that came to my mind immediately. And one thing that I love about Pyke is that once you kill the enemies yourself with your ultimate, you actually share, like, the gold with your teammates. You don't get the entire tank. So I feel like I love it when I played other games like League or Heroes of the Storms. Like, I loved being aggressive support that actually can be carry if played well, that can kill. So I would love to see a support that, you know, if gets the farm, doesn't get punished. You don't destroy your teammate. I'm not sure how it can be done. Like, if you get the kill, you don't get the entire XP or stuff like that.
Interesting.
Like, if that makes sense.
I feel like it's not just experience. Like, if you get a kill, the rest of your team gets, like, rally boosted. You know,
I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. I think we already getting lots of cool stuff. But I just loved playing Pyke. Maybe that's why I'm kind of biased.
Yeah, just put Pyke in Unite. I'd be down. That's awesome.
It reminds me of Heroes of the Storm. There's a character called Karazim. He's based on the monk from Diablo, and he is a healer. Yeah. And the way he worked was that basically, like, his boosted auto, like, he had a boosted auto mechanic like we do in Pokemon, but his boosted auto did an AoE heal around your teammates. So he was a character that relied on dealing damage to heal your teammates, which is interesting. and he had like a way to like put a mark on your teammate, and if they're about to die, if they're about to take lethal damage, they don't and they get resurrected, which I think League of Legends has something like that. Dota definitely did.
Yeah.
So we don't have something like that, like death prevention mechanics.
No,
that would actually be interesting.
Yeah, now actually Indebear brought Hero of the Storms a bit more. You know, or you remember Auriel? Was Auriel the angel healer?
Yeah, the angel healer. You mark your teammates, and
yeah,
when they deal damage, they give you a resource, and then that resource you can spend to heal them back.
Yeah, you can't heal yourself. You need first your teammate to give you basically like mana, like some kind of energy. And with that, the more you have, the more healing your ability is going to do.
Okay.
It was a really cool idea.
Interesting.
I would love to see something like that. Like, I would like to see supporting that's like not just tradition. You just don't just throw an egg and heal your teammate.
Hmm. Yeah, we already have that in the game, you know? We have click button to heal, then heals, right? We need some more dynamic entrances to the support role, and I feel like we're getting some now with these new Pokemon being released. But let's jump to our final segment of the show. Let's talk tier list right now. Let me do this so you can see it. Perfect. Let's talk support tier list. Now, this should be a little bit shorter one potentially, but let's start with our just going alphabetical. Our first Pokemon that I think belongs on this list is going to be Blissey. Ender, you said that this Pokemon is definitely viable right now. Is it viable enough to have it in the A slot?
I think it exists somewhere between A and B.
Okay.
I don't have a strong opinion either way.
Sure.
My lean towards what Espo thinks.
I think I'm gonna say A, to be honest.
Okay.
I feel like Blissey definitely hasn't been as strong as it used to be. Like, it was an S tier for so long. I feel like it still definitely has strong powers. Like, its healing can be good. And I feel like Safeguard against some characters are also being feeling fine recently.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna say A.
Yeah.
But okay. I feel like this can change with the draft pick, of course.
Yeah. I think it's also just one of the best unites in the game, too. Like, Bliss Assistance is absurd. So I think that is still a strong point of viability for it. Eldegoss, we talked about how this Pokemon has fallen off pretty hard from the days of old, a little bit power crept. Is that enough to throw it all the way down to D tier, or do you think it does not deserve this slot?
So on this tier list, we're only going to have, like, supporters pretty much, right? Our Pokemon that are supporting.
Yes. And we'll add some weirdo picks probably, but but yes, so far just supporting Pokemon.
Yeah, I guess C or D is probably fair. Like, I don't think Eldegoss is bad by any means. I played a decent amount of it this season, and I feel like it has like some good matchups still with like Leaf Tornado blind, and map mobility is really good and whatnot, but yeah, like Espo said, like, we don't have these big 5v5 team fights where the alt feels like it's going to swing big one way or another. Like, so yeah, it's definitely on the bottom end, C or D, I'd say.
Do you think, we're not going to move it up, but do you think this Pokemon would move up in a draft format?
100%, yeah. I think it moves instantly in draft, for sure.
Yeah, okay. Espo, you were going to say something?
I'm going to give it D for sure now. So for the draft pick wise, as I said, we did few scrims as draft picks with some other teams. And even on those picks, we haven't even talked about Eldegoss too much. The only part where it came out is as in their cell. Like, we are like, oh, look, the enemy is picking T-Tar. Let's have Eldegoss for the blind. Like, you're only considering the blind or the vision wise. And I feel like there are Pokemons that does the vision better than Eldegoss right now.
Right.
I just feel like even with draft pick, the maximum like it'll get is maybe B tier. It definitely requires some buffs right now.
Okay. It moves up, but not like that high. Okay, I got you. All right, let's keep cruising here. Does Mr. Mime belong on this list? I mean, it's really playing a strong defender role in the meta right now. Do we think you can consider it in a supportive role or no?
I would say so, yeah.
Well, then where do you want it?
I think it's S tier. Like, I think it's still...
Okay, S tier in support.
I still think this Pokemon's good.
All right.
Yeah, I mean... I think you could run this Pokemon with EXP strain. Like I said, like, I feel like we're not in a meta anymore where it's like you have like this hardcore dedicated support role. I think the player that's going to play Mime on the team is probably going to be the one that's either better at Mime or they're the other person's better at the other role in the other Pokemon picked in that role.
Okay, I gotcha.
Like, if we were playing Mime Lax, which would be a popular combo, even if Lax is going to have the EXP share, I think I would say, Zugrug, you're going to play Snorlax, I'll play Mime. But if it was, like, Mime Pika, then I would play Pika and he would play Mime, for example.
Mime finding its way onto two S-tier lists on in this series. It's an absolute crime. Espo, do you agree? Mime S-tier?
I agree with S-tier right now. Yeah. Like, I haven't played since the yesterday's patch. I didn't have the opportunity, but I'm still seeing from people that it's strong.
Yeah.
And now the confusion is fixed. I definitely want to experience with the power swap confusion. That used to be my goal. I played over 300 games with it in season 2.
Nice.
And I feel it's definitely has potential. For support wise, again, if you're talking more traditionally, you definitely like the healing pie. Like I remember, I think Slash said it in the your defender pick, and he's like, I mean, power swap is basically a mini Bliss ult, basically.
Yeah, Mini is also probably undercutting it. Like, it's about half a Blissey ult, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so I feel like if you want to play it in a more traditional support way, you definitely can. My team also experimented double EXP share with Mime and whoever is the other support having it, and it was working fine, so I definitely can see Mime support being a really good pick right now.
All right, sounds good. It finds its way into S tier. Ender, where does your beloved Pika support go?
I think it goes in the middle. I think it's like a B tier Pokemon.
Okay.
I believe in it very much, but I also recognize that there's other picks, at least in blind pick, that are going to be more consistently good. Sure.
So when Ender's playing it, it's like up here, but you know, normally we're going to find it in B. Espo, you okay with that? I think it's a good placement.
As I say, if Ender is playing S, if Espo is playing, put it next to Aldegos.
Okay, sure. Yeah, it's got a lot of variance on this Pokemon. Okay, other than that, in this top row, I mean, we're kind of filling up a little bit. Does Slowbro be considered in the supporting role at all? It's just kind of Geese, right? Geese plays this Pokemon in support sometimes of Nouns Esports, so for that, I feel like it is on this list, but where do we think it ends up? I want to say C.
Yeah, I think C is fair.
Okay.
Yeah,
I did try the Scaldbro as a support just to see how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
Against certain matchups, I felt like the attack reduction definitely fell because we're in a one-shot meta right now, and that's if you can hit the Scald, it feels, I think, not bad, and I would definitely agree with C tier, but it can definitely be a decent supportive Pokemon.
Okay. We'll put it in C. For now, a little bit worse than support Pika, but is somewhat viable, maybe. I think the next, I guess Snorlax, we have talked about how it's a defender, but can it also fit that supportive role since those, the lines are sort of blurring between those two roles right now in this current metagame. If we were to play Snorlax in a supportive role, where do you think it shows up?
I'll put it A tier personally. Currently, okay. It's what I'm playing as a support.
Cool.
And I feel like it's definitely a strong Pokemon for both early game and late game. You can do lots of stuff. And it's strong, I think. It just feels like in the late game, you kind of transfer more into defender, like in the Rayquaza pit and stuff.
Right.
But I feel like it's right now a really good pick.
Okay. I like that a lot. I mean, Ender, you were talking about how defending backcaps and stuff is so important in this current gameplay. Snorlax is one of the best to ever do that. Do you think it's A? Do you think it could be pushed up to S? Where do you think Snorlax is?
Could be S. I think A is fine. Probably, I think it'll be the best A tier Pokemon we'll have in this from the Pokemon in the pool. So okay. I think that's fair.
Cool. All right, let's leave it A. Next up, I would say, is Wiggly. Now, Japan loved invading with this character. Ender, it sounds like you are attempting some invades on this character as well. Where do you want to put it?
I think it's somewhere between B and C. Maybe after the buff it got to its Unite move in this patch.
Okay.
I'd say it might be a B-tier Pokemon. It seems like it's good, and I think it's going to be a lot better in draft. Like, problem with this Pokemon in blind pick is if you go into Zard or Tyranitar that has true damage, like your ult gets significantly less value, which is really, really annoying. But
yeah,
I think it's fine in the middle of the tier list.
Okay, sounds good. Espo, any thoughts on Wigglytuff? You think this thing?
I would say I think it fits the B tier, but instead of between B and C, I was thinking more between A and B. I personally did play it a little bit in 5 stacks, and I love Wigglytuff. It used to be one of the Pokemons I played a lot back in the day, and I think, again, this is a Pokemon that's going to shine with the draft pick. Right now, in the blind pick, it's too risky because your ultimate can be essentially useless against certain picks. But I feel like its early game is super strong. Its mid game is super strong. It can do hold the pass. And I read the recent buffs, and I feel like it's going to be super good with the Dazzling Gleam and stuff. So I think it definitely deserves B tier and can be pushed up later.
Okay. I like that a lot. More experimentation needed on the Wiggly. Are we just gonna make a geese tier? Like, is it just gonna be
Whatever, to me,
Slowbro?
whatever geese place is gonna be C
All
tier, that's what you're
right,
saying.
yeah. I mean, he makes it look better, but like in the hands of everybody else. I mean, okay. I'm gonna put Mamo there. Any?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay,
I
great.
think it's viable, but it's not the best.
Sure, sounds good. Other than that, where do we think the next support would realistically be if we're moving down this list? Is it gonna be Hoopa?
I put Greed into the D tier. I experimented a little bit.
All right, great. It's bad. We'll move on. All right, then where do we put Hoopa right now? Espa, you were talking this Pokemon up quite a bit. Ender, you did not believe in it. So, Espa, let's start with you. Where would you put Hoopa?
Okay, so personally, my team and I experimented a lot with Hoopa. At the beginning of when we got the new map, I was actually thinking S. Right now, I feel it's A tier, like low A tier.
Ooh, low A tier. Okay.
Yeah, the reason being, I feel like Hoopa, if played well, is still really good. It requires definitely good team coordination. Your portals are super strong, your split pushing is super strong. And even in certain situations, I found myself being able to hold two pads at the same time with the portal. And like I just feel like in the current meta again with the Ray buffs, this might be a bit different, but like I feel like being able to going the split scoring with Hoopa is super strong. And if you can break the pad, like Yamadaing is always a good option. Like you just have that extra pressure. And every time I play Hoopa and do that, I found out that enemy is like putting two people on me, and it's just giving me my teammate a huge advantage in the mid, and I can live most of those situations. So
Okay.
I just feel like the pressure Hoopa puts is still there. It's just not as obvious as a Zapdos map, but I think it's still strong.
Okay. Ender, is this Pokemon too high, or do you think this is an okay spot for it?
It's fine. I think maybe I'd put it B tier, but I think it has like a lot of potential still. Portals are so good. My problem with portals is that like there's so much fighting over the mid farm. Like there's the Altarias that spawn there, all the ball toys. There's a lot of traveling, like there's a lot of jungle invading as a team. And portals are nice to reset, but they don't give you that map mobility like you used to. Like before,
Right.
all the fighting was in the lanes,
Yeah, you had
and
no
the map
reason to
is so
go in the
spread
middle.
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Hoopa doesn't feel as good, but I think it's a great Pokemon. The ult is gonna feel really good,
Okay.
with Rayquaza nerfed as well.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's leave it where it is for now then. Ender, Azumarill, does with the play rough, build on this
No.
Pokemon, does it feel Pika? Is it just like Pikachu? No?
I don't
Okay.
think so, no. I think
Okay.
melee Pokemon can't do that unless they're really, really bulky.
All right, he does make cool sound effects when he does play rough, but that's
I
fine, I
love
guess.
Azumarill. I play a lot of it, but I
Okay,
don't think
fair
so.
enough. Buzzwole goes into C tier.
I
That's what left
actually
my mouth
just
open.
I saw an EXP share Buzzsole in my solo queue game, and it didn't
That's
seem that
right,
high.
that's right. Buzzwole Copium, I'm here for it. Espo, any thoughts on. You were saying something about those Pokemon.
Basil, I mean, it's. I feel like it's gonna be a strong ping in general, but not as a support right now.
I
I
think so
don't
too.
know.
All right, we'll move it back out of
Okay,
there.
my hot take, the one that I think is good here in this spot, in the C tier probably, maybe low B, is Crustle. And
Okay.
oh, he's a believer too. I knew it. I was not griefing.
We're putting it low B. It's not going in the geese tier. I've never seen geese play this.
No, I think it's fair in the C tier though. Like I think it
All
sits
right, all
beside
right, all
Slowbro.
right.
Yeah, if you put it on BM posted online somewhere, people are gonna be what the fuck.
I think I've done this thing. I call it the Dwebble tech, where you
I
go
love
EXP
this
share,
tech. Okay,
and
yes.
you just stay level 3 the entire game. And because you're the lowest level on your team, your EXP share is activated, and you bank up a bunch of passive XP, and you just run around the map. You're basically just being what Sableye is gonna be. I just run around the map. I just throw stuns on the opponent. If they kill me, it's like whatever. I'm level 3. You don't get anything out of it. And because of the way EXP works on the map, you're like your my team is basically getting comeback XP worth of XP because our average level is so pulled down because of me. And then when I cash out my levels, I immediately go from like level 3 to like 7.5, 8, sometimes even 9.
Amazing. Okay, so I think what we've learned from this episode is that Ender has great teammates that can really make these things pay
No, they
off.
hate me for sure, but I believe in it.
Okay, I mean, I'm there and it's on the list. It is on the list. Do you have any hot takes, Espo? Do you think another Pokemon belongs on this list somehow? I feel like we stretched it pretty thin. Wait, what'd you say?
Put the Zard
C tier.
I am a Zard support believer.
I do not believe in that Pokemon.
I am a believer.
And Espo was allowed to
push the D tier since now the ult got nerfed. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. But above Eldegoss. Okay. All right, we'll put it mid. Ender, you get two. Espo gets one, okay? He gets to put one on our list. All right, well, this is where we will have our support tier list for tonight's episode. I think that is a fine spot to leave that. Let's jump back here towards the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining me, you two. This is a really fun discussion. I learned a ton, so I know our listeners and everyone watching the live has learned a ton as well. So thank you so much for joining me to be able to talk about supports. I want to give you both the chance now, though, to plug all your stuff. Where can people find you, listen to you, watch you? It's your chance to sell out, shout out, whatever you'd like to do. Ender, where can people find you?
Twitch.tv/Ender or Ender Unite on Twitter and YouTube. I try to post YouTube videos daily or every other day. I stream almost every day, and I'm pretty active on Twitter as well, so check me out there.
Awesome. Yep, make sure you are following if you're not already. Espo, how about you?
I don't really stream or anything, but my teammates stream our team practices from time to time, so you can, if you want to watch me play, at least my teammates play, you can check Lekoding's stream or Kratos' stream. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter at Esposito or Espoman1.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Awesome. We'll make sure you are all following. In terms of Unite Mugs, you can find me at Zoinkscast on Twitter. You can check out all the episodes of Overdunk on any podcast platform around or on youtube.com/ Unite Mics, and then of course on Twitch here you can watch the live recordings every Wednesday, twitch.tv/Unite Mics. The only other thing I want to plug is we just had Unite Mics Mayhem week number 2 this last week, which was a really fun tournament. Nemesis won yet again, so they are now a 2-time champs. They're coming back to week number 3 happening this upcoming Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Ender, your team is going to be participating. It's going to be a very, very fun event. The format, which we're going to be posting on Twitter tomorrow, but I'll tell you all now, is going to be each team submits 2 blind bans to me before the match starts, and then those 4 Pokemon will be banned for that game. So 2 to 4 Pokemon banned per match. Other than that, no other rule changes. So it should be a pretty exciting event. I'm excited for it, but make sure you are tuned into all of that. All that being said, they have been Esmo and Ender. I have been Zwingscast. This has been Overdunk Support Episode. Thank you so much for joining, everybody, and we will see you all next time. Goodbye.